Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM, good morning. So Cian Sullivan is on the line now and he wants to tell us about his sister, Arwen, and the legacy he and his family have created for her. Cian, good morning. How are you?
Good, Jen. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on. Can we start by talking about Arwen? Can you tell me about her?
Sure. So Arwen was my sister. She was brightness in a room, whatever. She was always so positive. Her and I got on quite well. We always had a real wicked sense of humor together. Joe, one of those people that, you know, you could just see something happen and then you just need to exchange a glance with them and you're both thinking the same thing. Like that's kind of the sort of connection we had with her. She was really, really bright, really, really hard worker. She was a trained physiotherapist. You know, she had to work hard at that. You know, that's a tough course to do. And yeah. She was doing it in the Royal College of Surgeons as well. And it's funny, like, she had her own system to study and to work. It wouldn't look like a system now to me or you, because it would be like, you know, notes scribbled in a notebook here and a post-it on the back of an electricity bill there. But it worked for her and she got through it. And, you know, she worked as a physio because she loved helping people. Like she kind of did her placement working with sort of older people, and she just really seemed to get a kick from putting other people before her. And, you know, that's kind of what makes, you know, her passing kind of sadder, because it kind of seems like she spent too much time looking after others and maybe not enough on herself, you know.
Yeah, April 14th, 2020, you lost her. Now, that day was a lovely one in Sullivan House. Arwen made dinner. She was in great form. So what happened?
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I got the news, you know, it was the next day, but, you know, there had been no signs. It was just a nice, sunny, pre-summer day. You know, there had been, her boyfriend was living with my parents because of COVID and restrictions and stuff like that. So he was there. There had been a call with friends over Zoom. And then, you know, they'd gone to bed. And then my parents checked in on her before they went to bed. And, you know, she was gone. She had been taken from us. She was, yeah, unfortunately. So I still remember when I got the call the next day, it was sort of just like when your belly falls out from underneath you and you just sort of kind of spiral into panic mode.
Yeah.
And at that point, she had been resuscitated by paramedics. So there was like, her heart was beating. She just wasn't responding. So there was this kind of hope at the time that we were like, you know, maybe this will just be a false alarm. Maybe we'll get her back. But ultimately, we found out, no, that, you know, she was taken from us forever.
Cian, this must have just absolutely, I mean, blindsided you and your family, did it? Because you said she was in good form. It was a good day. There was no sign, so to speak.
No, yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, when you think of suicide, you know, none of the signs that are related to it you would have seen on that day, or even like the months leading up to it, you know, like, she did live with anxiety and she was doing a lot to keep that under control. But, you know, there was no sort of signs that we saw that, you know, suicide was on the horizon.
Yeah, like you say, she worked on it and she was open about it, wasn't she, with your mother and some friends? But she protected you from what she was going through, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So she was, well, I suppose I knew she had anxiety and stuff, but yeah, you know, she would have been more open maybe when asked by my mum or her friends. But everyone sort of had a different piece of the puzzle. And I know that at one point, one of her friends wanted to sort of highlight stuff to me, and she had said, no, I wanted to keep, you know, this part, you know, this thing that I'm struggling with away from Cian, because I think she just wanted us to have a sort of more, I don't think she wanted me to worry about her, do you want to sit away? And that kind of ties back to what I said at the start. You know, she was always putting other people above herself. So she thought she could deal with it rather than worry me about it, you know.
And of course, this all happened during the first lockdown. That must have made the whole grieving process so hard.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I'm obviously not the only one who's had to go through it, unfortunately, if you look at the numbers. But yeah, it just feels horrible to have this sprung upon you. And then you have like 10 people who can go to a funeral. I mean, that's not a position anyone ever wants to be in. And there was friends who had to sort of sit outside. People were socially distanced, standing around car parks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people were, our support system were amazing and they helped us in every way that they could. But, you know, it just, we know as Irish people that what you need is, you know, people come around the house, someone boiling the kettle, someone making sandwiches, having like lasagna and shepherd's pie up to the gills. And none of that was possible, you know. And I think it also impacted the people who wanted to help us as well, because they couldn't do anything and they felt helpless. So it kind of was a ripple effect outwards, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned there that Erwin was very responsible for her own mental health and worked hard to keep herself well. Do you think that lockdown, there was a lull in that, or lockdown prevented her from getting maybe the help that she needed?
I mean, it's really hard to know, right? So she, I mean, she was aware of what she could do to make herself feel better. You know, she did her sort of thesis on how to manage mental health with exercise. Okay. She was a real advocate of going for a run, just induce those endorphins in you to sort of maybe boost your mood. But I think, you know, lockdown can be bleak, and opportunities, there's less things to look forward to, the less things to keep you happy and stuff. So it's hard to know for sure that maybe just that compounded with the existing anxiety, you know, compounded with maybe just some trigger event that happened during the day, could have been the result that ultimately killed her.
Now, she was your younger sister and your only sibling. Keen, how are you?
Sean, I'm not actually doing too badly. I realised, you know, when I was kind of going through the grieving process, that I'm really grateful that I'm such a crier.
Yeah.
I would have, like, you know, I would have joked about myself in the past that I'd cry over quite frivolous things. But I found that, you know, when I was going through the grieving process, I was able to cry quite a lot. And I found myself leaning into crying rather than, you know, that initial gut response we have to sort of stop ourselves from crying. And I was really grateful that I was able to cry, because I kind of felt that I was just this sort of jar of emotions. And if I couldn't empty the jar, you know, the jar of grief, I couldn't empty the jar if I didn't cry or laugh. So I was actually did feel every time I cried was better. And I was really grateful that I was such a crier, because I think it helped me process it more. At the moment, I mean, like, I'm not saying my, if I keep going with this analogy of a jar, Jen, I don't feel the jar is empty, but the grief is like stuck to the sides of the jar. So it won't come loose anytime soon, but it will come when it's ready.
When it's ready. That's a very good way of putting it. Now, you believe communication, don't you, is just key when it comes to having a loved one with mental health struggles, both with them and family and friends. Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we found out was, like I said, we didn't see any signs.
Yeah.
But, you know, after her death, we all gathered and we spoke and we shared stories about, you know, what do you think could have happened? And I think in hindsight, if we had all known the different pieces of the puzzle that we all had together, we might have had a better idea of the big picture and maybe might have been more concerned, and maybe we might have been able to help her more at the time. So that's kind of what I would say, is if you are worried about somebody, reach out to their network. I mean, obviously you can talk to them, but you can only get somebody to tell you something. Like, you can only, you know, if somebody doesn't want to tell you something or doesn't want to talk about something, you can't change that, right? So talk to their friends, their, you know, maybe, you know, if there's two groups of friends, maybe reach out to the other one, maybe reach out to a parent. And yeah, really activate that network to try and get as many pieces of the puzzle as you can. And we also found retrospectively, you know, if, let's say a friend is reaching out to another friend, or a friend is reaching out to a parent or a family member, like, there's a lot of shame around these things. People tend to try, you know, euphemize the language to make it more, you know, appetizing, or that's the wrong word, but, you know, try to placate the facts. And maybe they're worried about betraying the person's trust or upsetting somebody. But we found, like, if you know, be honest, don't euphemize it. The more you share, the more information we have, and the more information we have, the better we can do to help the person who's suffering.
Now, let's talk about that for a second, and the legacy you've created for Erwin. She loved clothes. So talk to me about Share Joy.
Yeah, so Share Joy came about between my mum and her friend and a friend, and the three of them together sort of, it kind of started with the idea of maybe selling Erwin's clothes on Depop, because she's a big fashionista. She was always kind of looking different, even if she was wearing the same clothes, and she was, you know, an avid Depop buyer. But, you know, that a one-time auction would only be, you know, a one-time raising event. So from that idea, the idea of getting other people in the sort of world of fashion to donate clothes, with the proceeds would go to mental health charities. So the current charity we're working with is Pieta House, but there will be more down the line. So yeah, we launched in January with 20 Irish women donating items on our Depop shop. And so in our first 2 weeks, we raised 13.5 grand, which is amazing.
That is quite incredible. So how can listeners get involved? Can they jump onto the Share Joy page and purchase? And how can somebody listen that wants to get involved and help these amazing charities, how can they help?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have the Share Joy Instagram page, which is sharejoy_ie. That's kind of our central hub. That's where you'll see what items are available and sort of our calls to actions. So you can follow us there. The Depop shop, where they can buy the remaining items, and there'll be more to come, is on depop.com/sharejoy. And if someone is listening and they just want to make a donation, or maybe you have an item in your wardrobe that you want to sell on Depop and you want to donate the money to Share Joy, then you can go to sharejoy.ie and there's a donate page there.
Well, listen, Keane, thank you so much for sharing your story today. And if there's one thing we can all learn, is that I suppose communication is key and we need a reminder. So thank you for doing that. And thank you so much, and we'll chat soon.
No problem. Thank you so much. Just wanted to say well, even from back in the apprentice days, Aaron and I were always sort of team Jen, so we were always excited to see you arrive to where you are. So she'd be really excited that we were chatting today.
Oh, that's amazing. And I was off on the apprentice days. I can't believe you brought that up, Cian. That's like a different me. I don't even think that's me when I look back. I my haircut, for one, was awful. But thanks for mentioning, and thanks for coming on the show. We'll definitely chat soon, okay?
Absolutely.
Bye, Keane. Bye. There we go. That is Keane Sullivan. I want to thank him again for sharing a really personal story, and just what an amazing concept. Arwen will be so happy about Share Joy. She loved clothes. This is a great way for you to get involved. Go and check out sharejoy.ie is the website. You can go and check him out on Instagram and the website. And just remember to talk to anyone you are worried about. You know, talk with friends, talk with family. And remember, Pieta House do offer 24-hour help. Their number is 1-800-247-247. We'll be back right after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.